Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Folks, OBM Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today. Very happy to be joined now live here at the Combine in Indianapolis by CBS Sports NFL draft expert Dane Brugler. You can follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, an Ohio guy, loves the Browns as well. Dane, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's the Combine's a fun event. It's almost like a microcosm of the entire draft process because it's fast and furious. Everything's happening. You got to kind of step back and take it all in. So there's a lot of information to be gained here and that we can learn and about these prospects. There's 323 players here. There's a lot we can find out. So, we're in the process of finding these out. Interviews, finally have some on-field action today with the offensive linemen, tight ends. They're running right now, which is great to see. And so a lot to take in this week.
How important in your evaluation, when you're putting together your board and doing your work, is the combine as relative to the tape? I know the tape is the meat, but how much can what happens here really impact a player in your eyes and then a team's eyes because they also get to do the interviews?
Right. It's cross-checking. That's what this is. It's an exercise to make sure what you saw on tape is backed up here in Indianapolis, not only the 40 times, but a lot of these agility drills, the positional drills, the bench press, the vertical jump, the broad jump, things like that. You want to see that, what they showed on tape is backed up here with the numbers. And so sometimes too much emphasis can be put on these numbers. But at the same time, these players, the teams, the work's 80% done. They have their boards stacked, put down in pencil. They're not going to make drastic changes at this point. It's just good to see all these guys in the same fishbowl. I compare it to when you're in high school, you want to go to college. You can talk about GPA, you can talk about the sports you play, but you have to take the SATs. Colleges want to know how you test. Same thing with the NFL. You have 4 years worth of tape. You have all these all the stats, production. But at the same time, these teams want to know how do you test. And so that's what the combine is. There's something to be gained from it, but not too much emphasis can be put on just the numbers.
Talking with Dane Brugler, draft expert from CBSSports.com. When you look at this Browns team entering the draft, two first-round picks. They also have an early pick in the second round. With those first three picks, what do you think are the positions they need to target? And by the way, I hope your mock draft comes true. You have Kevin White and then Malcolm Brown to the Browns at 12 and 19, respectively.
Yeah, I think when you look on defense, got to get help in that front seven against the run. Then you also want someone that can get after the passer. Someone to help that front seven, maybe two guys to help that front seven. And then on offense, you could look on the offensive line at right tackle. You look at guard, possibly even center, and then at wide receiver. You need to find help on the outside, with Josh Gordon's situation. And even if there wasn't that situation, you still need to find help. Guys with height, guys with athleticism, guys that can stretch the field, go over the middle. Kevin White can be one of those guys. And in this draft, there's three guys at the top with Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and Devontae Parker. I think there's a good chance we see those three guys go somewhere in the top 12. And if there's a chance that one of them would be available at 12, would the Browns pull the trigger if the right guy is on the board? I think it's possible. I think any of those three would be an excellent addition, someone that can help from day one. Whoever's playing quarterback needs help, and I think one of those guys would do that.
No question. Do you think there's a big drop-off between that top three group of at the wide receiver position and then that next tier that might have Funchess or a Jalen Strong or Dorial Green-Beckin or Breshad Perriman?
A little bit. You just have a little more questions. Take a guy like Devin Funchess who he looks the part. He's going to test extremely well here. But you watch the tape, too many dropped passes, not enough production, struggled. He seemed to play down to the competition, and play down with his teammates instead of elevating the players around him. And so it's a few things you worry about with him. Jalen Strong, a good player, the ball skills, the way he can perform in contested situations. But at the same time, he's not going to test really well. The speed's not exceptional. He's not a guy that will consistently separate. But still, nonetheless, a good player because of what he can do, you know, at the catch point. And at some other guys, this is a strong draft. And we looked at last year's wide receiver class and how strong it was. This draft at wide receiver, not as strong, but it's a notch below. We have a lot of players that even in the second, third rounds can come in and contribute, guys like Nelson Aguilar from USC. Mm-hmm. And you can go on and on down the list of wide receivers that you can find questions, poke holes in them a little bit. They're not like the top three, but they still have NFL talent. They can still affect your offense as rookies.
We've seen Funchess linked to the Browns a few times in various mock drafts. What position do you see him playing in the NFL?
He's a wide receiver. I think most teams that I am talking to look at him as that. You know, a lot of teams don't want to define him as a position. That's what, you know, talking to Devin yesterday, you know, asking him, what do you like better, wide receiver, tight end? What do you see yourself as?
I'm a ball player.
I'm a ball player, exactly. And I think that's some teams, that's how they see it. You know, if you want to flex him out in the slot, you want to put him outside, you want to put him in line, showing that versatility to do anything you want, you know, can be an asset to a creative offensive coordinator. So to me, though, I think he's best on the outside, like an Alshon Jeffrey type of receiver.
If the Browns lose some guys in free agency, they could get some compensatory picks, you know, later, but the third, fifth round, sixth, seventh round, maybe. What do you see? Who are some guys, some gems that you're seeing on your boards? Maybe some small school guys. One of our Twitter followers asked us the question, that some guys that you like kind of in the later rounds as projects or people with high upside.
Yeah, you know, a player that really impressed me at the Senior Bowl is Ali Marpet out of Hobart. No Hobart player has ever been drafted, Division III. But you know, I'm a Division III guy, so I've got a soft spot for those types. He went to the Senior Bowl and he was outstanding, going up against the likes of Danny Shelton and Carl Davis, some of the best senior defensive tackles in the country. He was played left tackle in college, but I think he's gonna be best at guard, maybe even center. You know, even though he's going from the D3 level to the NFL, making that huge jump, he's a guy that if you can get him in a third, fourth round, to me, he's a Zach Martin light type of player. Okay. And so you plug him in at guard. Like I said, there will be a little bit of jump, obviously, going from D3 to the NFL, but he's a good player, a lot to like about him.
When you look at this quarterback class, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston there at the top of it, doesn't seem like the Browns are going to have an opportunity to get either one of those guys unless they make a significant trade. And it seems right. The consensus is, and if you disagree, you can stop me, that neither one of those guys is that much of a sure thing that you're going to want to mortgage multiple first-round picks over a couple years.
I agree.
After that, Hundley, Grayson, Petty, any of those guys do you think have the potential to really develop into something? And who would you look at if you were the Browns in that second tier of quarterback in what everybody's saying is a very weak quarterback class?
Yeah, it is. It's the weakest we've seen in maybe a couple decades. There's a good chance that we don't have a senior quarterback go top 50, which would be the first time since 1994. And so you look at this class, you mentioned the first two guys. Then after that, where's that number three quarterback go? I think it'll be Brett Hundley just because the tools are off the charts. He's a great kid. You know, Marcus Mariota, he's 1A when you talk about the character and the way he presents himself. Brett Hundley's 1B. I mean, he's right underneath him in terms of just the way he carries himself and the way in the interviews, the team meetings. He's going to impress both the coaches and the general managers because he's football smart and, you know, he's just a good person, a good individual. So I think there's a good chance we see Hundley, the next guy off the board, maybe even that late first or early second. A team will just become intrigued with those traits and take him that early. Now, if I can get Brett Hundley in the third, the fourth, then I'm taking the chance on him because, like I said, there's a lot to work with there. But I'm not taking him as early as he's going to go. And then you have so many questions with these other guys. Bryce Petty basically has to relearn the quarterback position after so many years in Baylor's scheme. He's an older guy. He'll be a 24-year-old rookie. You just wonder how long it's going to take for him to transition to a pro style, go underneath center, be able to read defenses from, you know, 3-5, 7-step drops. So for a lot of these quarterbacks, it's a lot of projection. A lot of guys you see maybe as backups. It's hard to see any of these guys being viable starters besides the top two. And by the way, I've yet to find someone who is to say, you know, any of my league contacts, anyone that thinks that Jameis Winston won't be that number one pick. So that seems to be the, you know, the more and more
locked
the consensus.
In there. Sure.
Although there have been some reports that some fatigue to his arm. That, you know, he hasn't spoken yet today because he's gone through the medical process. It's taken a little bit longer because they found some things with the shoulder. That's something that could come into play here. We'll have to see. But Jameis, as long as he's healthy, as long as he doesn't get himself in any more trouble, he's the favorite to go number one.
And, yes, Chris Mortensen reporting that he has weakness in his throwing shoulder, as you alluded to just there. Talking with Dane Brugler, CBS Sports NFL draft expert with us, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, @DPBrugler. Dane, tight end could be a position if Jordan Cameron does not return to the Cleveland Browns that they could look to address in this draft. Max Williams, we know, ran a 4.9, then a 4.77.
Right.
He is, many think, the number one tight end in this class. Where do you see him going, and who's somebody that could be a tight end, if it's not Max Williams, that would be a good fit for the Browns in this draft?
Yeah, you know, this tight end class was looked at as a weaker position in the draft class, but then Max Williams entered the draft, who's a redshirt sophomore. And if he goes first round, which I think there's a good chance he does, it'll only be the third time in NFL draft history that we have a father-son duo from the same college go first round. His dad was a center in the 80s,
yep.
Went to the Giants as a first rounder.
About 12 years in the league.
Yep, he joined the Archie and Eli, and he joined the Matthews father-son duo as the only father-son duo to go first round, both from the same school. I think he has that ability. You know, the numbers today in the 40 aren't great, but that's not his game. He's not a speed guy. He's a guy that, you know, he knows how to get open, and then once he gets open, he can catch the ball and he can create afterwards. And that you see Jason Witten lot with
that's
him.
That's what I thought.
And you know, he's not going to be a burner. You know, Jordan Cameron ran a 4.53 when he was here in 2011. He's not that type of athlete, not that type of speed, but he's still a playmaker because what he can do. He's only 20 years old. You expect him to get better as a blocker, even better as a receiver. So Max Williams definitely, to me, that top tight end. You look at Denver in the late first round, that's a possibility. Seattle, maybe even earlier, depending on how teams feel about them. And then, you know, looking later in the third round, fourth round, Jeff Heuerman out of Ohio State is a player who 17 catches this year. You know, the production, the resume is not really impressive, but I was impressed with him, the way he handled himself as a blocker in Urban Meyer's offense, as a move blocker. They line him up in the backfield, in line, in the slot. He played everywhere, and he was tenacious. He was outstanding. And then when he did get receiving opportunities, he knew what to do with the ball. He was a tough guy to bring down. I think there's a lot of potential with him. As long as the medicals go okay and they don't find anything more serious, Jeff Heuerman's a player I would target in the third or fourth round, potentially to be a starter down the road.
And some people say he helped his draft stock by doing absolutely nothing today, as
agreed.
Some of the other tight ends did not go out and put their best foot forward. As you look at this Browns team, and let's talk Johnny Manziel, because we talked quarterbacks, but really Johnny still is the key, or at least he is the best path to success. You drafted him in the first round a year ago. Six quarters, not enough to evaluate
right.
him on. Pete Prisco from CBS wrote an article about that today. What was your evaluation of Johnny coming out, and what do you think he must improve at to become a functional starter in the National Football League?
Well, you know, and we've talked about this before, that, I almost thought the way the season ended was almost a positive, because instead of it going extremely well and Johnny going into the offseason thinking, you know, I can do this. This NFL's easy. You know, I have no problem with this. He got his teeth kicked in. And so he's going into the offseason with the mindset that, you know what, I need to get my nose in the playbook. I have to, get better as a pro. That's a lot different than college. And so I think it was almost a positive the way the season ended, although, you know, I'm sure Browns fans won't agree. But with Johnny, the biggest thing with me at this time last year was durability. I really worried that with his style, how would he hold up?
Sure.
You don't see many guys his size being able to do what his style wants to do, moving around, extending the pocket, extending plays. And you can only do so much to tell him that, hey, you know, slide, get out of bounds. Throw the ball away. You can only do that so much, because that's what makes Johnny great, is the improvisational skills, the ability to make something out of nothing. So you can only reel him in so much. For Johnny to really take that next step for him as a pro quarterback, he just has to be focused and really buy into what the coaches are doing. And it'll be interesting with Kevin O'Connell coming in and new offensive coordinator and everything being new on the offensive side of the ball. How that will help Johnny, and then obviously with the off-field stuff, how he comes out of that. There's a lot of question marks, but I agree 100%. There's just no way you could fully evaluate him based off what we just saw last year. He needs more time. You took him in the first round. Give him a shot.
Yes.
Let him see what he can do on the field. If it ends up not working, then it doesn't work, and you move on. But you invested a first-round pick on him. See what you got.
When you look at the Browns quarterback situation, would you bring Brian Hoyer back and also a guy, Mike Glennon, Nick Foles, potential trade targets? What was your evaluation of those two, and how do you think they would fit in?
Yeah, it's the Hoyer situation is tough because obviously it's a little loaded situation. It's not just about what he can do on the field, but he knows Cleveland, so you would think he's open to coming back and being a part of this team, this community. But at the same time, is it what's best for the team. I'm not sure. I think it's smart for them to look at all quarterback options, see what's out there. Now, that doesn't mean that there is a clear-cut better option out there, but there are some options, and you mentioned a few of them. Nick Foles, Mike Glennon, you can even throw in guys like, Sanchez, McCown, some of the free agents. None of them project as starters that are going to lead you to the playoffs or anything like that, but guys that have starting experience, that guys that can come in and start a game if you need them to. They're different quarterbacks, most of them, than what you have with Manziel. And so that'll be an interesting dynamic. Although Foles showed, in Chip Kelly's offense that, he can move around a little bit and that, he does have the quick decision making to survive and more of a little more spread looks, that type of thing. So the quarterback's position, there's so many teams out there that are looking for help at the position. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out, the pecking order with which quarterback goes where. The Browns have options. It will be interesting to see what option they feel is the best to pair with Manziel for competition going into next season.
All right, last one. Who's your favorite player in the draft? Not necessarily the guy you have ranked over one overall, but like who's the guy that you just started watching and you're like, I love this guy. I want him to be very successful.
Yeah, there's a few of them, but Dante Fowler out of Florida, the pass rusher, he's outstanding. We just had his interview. It was so much fun listening to him. I mean, he's just very engaging. He's a confident kid. And besides that, he's awesome on the field. To me, he's the best pass rusher in this class. He's a top three player, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to get out of the top five. What he brings against the run, against the pass, that relentless energy is just awesome. So to me, Dante Fowler, my favorite guy in this class.
Dane, thanks so much. Good to be with you here in Indy. Enjoy the rest of the combine. And folks, follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. And we'll talk to you again as we continue to progress as the Browns. 10 picks, 2 in the first round. Look to, again, add some talent to this team.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. When we come back, we're going to talk to you 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Can you feel it? Now it's coming.